and welcome to Book Chatter, the monthly podcast sponsored by the Longmont Public Library. I'm Barb, your host for this episode, and with me are Amber.
Hello.
And Creola.
Hello.
And Alyssa.
Hi.
To talk a bit about what they do here at the Longmont Library and what they're reading and loving right now. So let's start with some introductions. I'm Barb. I'm a member of the Adult Services team, and part of my job includes staffing the reference desk, which we jokingly refer to as playing Trivial Pursuit all day. You never know what the next question is going to be or where you're going to find the answer. I also choose materials in several areas, assist with programs for adults, and recently worked with the outreach team. We went to the senior center last week and shared some things about the library, signed people up for cards, got some great feedback. It was a lovely time. And I've been part of the Book Chatter podcast team since its inception about 3 years ago. And just something I would like to highlight as part of my job, I choose materials for the library's automotive collection, which is up on the second floor in its own little kind of niche way in the north end. And if you don't know about it, it was founded before I even got here in 2006 and has quite an array of materials for repairing cars, trucks, vans, RVs, tractors. But I did want to highlight in particular what you won't find on the shelf back in that niche, and that is our two databases, All Data Repair and Auto Repair Source. Those are available online at our library's website. And check them out. You know, if the library's closed or it's 10 p.m. on a Sunday and something goes kaflooey on your truck, you still have options. All Data Repair is a little bit different in that you have to be in the library to access the service. And we'd be happy to show you how to do that. But Auto Repair Source is open 24/7, 365 days a year. So check it out. Alyssa. Could you tell us about what you do?
Yes, I work in the circulation department. I have been at the library about 5 years. I am part-time. I just finished school, actually. Got my master's in writing, so that's exciting.
Yay!
And so I'm still working part-time, which I love. So a lot of what I do is a lot of face-to-face with the patrons, helping them set up library cards, checking out items to them, checking items back in. One of the hidden gems that I wanted to highlight is our friend's bookstore, which is right there on corner, right across from the circulation desk. I just helped a gentleman this morning. He must have bought a stack of 10 things, and they were just all great deals. We have so many hidden gems in there, so I think that's a fun part of the library.
Mm. Yes, it is. And boy, we love our friends. If you're interested in joining, it is a bargain. And it also gets you early access to their incredible book sales. So, yeah, consider doing that. Amber, how about you?
Hi, I work in circulation along with Alyssa, and half my job is dedicated to acquisitions. So that means I order the books that the librarians select from our vendors, and we get them in the library all shiny and new. So that's fun to see. One of the things, like, it's sort of a library secret. We get books before their published date. And we can look at them if we want. We can look at all the secrets of the hottest titles that are coming out, but we could get in big trouble if we put the books out before their release date.
I've
heard some stories about it happening once or twice in Longmont's history and us getting letters that are like, please remove this from the shelf because this is not allowed. But we do need to get them early for cataloging and jacketing, so that's the reason for it. But it's cool to see all the new stuff come in.
Oh, absolutely. That's one of my favorite wanders in the library. I try to get up and wander every hour while I'm here in the building, and my favorite stop is the new bookshelves. You know, before they've been cataloged and processed, they're just sitting there, like you said, shiny and new.
Mm-hmm.
And oh my, it's a great place to start collecting a whole bunch of holds on those books.
Yes, your to be read list grows.
My TBR grows every time I go by there. Okay, Creola.
Hi, I'm also in circulation. I am a library page, which means part of the time I'm downstairs at the circulation desk helping patrons, but you'll also see me upstairs out and about in the stacks pulling books and shelving books. At the library, I just love chatting with the patrons. My favorite thing is when we're making a new library card and they're really excited about like those like hidden resources we have, like the discovery passes for the free museum trips, the state park passes, and you know, the library things, checking out telescopes. People are always like, oh my god, a telescope?
It's so awesome.
Yeah, I'm always excited when people are excited.
Yeah, so much more than books here.
Yeah,
that's for sure. Okay, let's move on to our recommendations for this episode, and I'll lead off with a couple of nonfiction books. And well, this just points out how dangerous that new bookshelf is. I found the first title I have to recommend on that new bookshelf just a couple months ago. It's called But First Coffee by Jordan Mickelman and Zachary Carlson. And whether you are totally absorbed in coffee nerddom or not, whether you're just brand new and you would like to start brewing coffee at home that tastes good, this is a book I would recommend. It's in our cookbook section. And the authors actually started a podcast about coffee a good long while ago, and I think the book kind of grew out of their experiences talking about coffee, doing coffee. And this book takes you from describing you know, how coffee is grown all the way through the various ways that you can process coffee to what kind of gadgets you want to have at home, and the various kinds of coffee machines, from a simple pour over to, you know, your own home espresso machine. And then they go into recipes, which is really fun, talking about coffee desserts and things. That really just rang my chimes big time. So that's But First Coffee. And that's a fairly recent publication. I think it came out just late last year in 2023. So love that new bookshelf. But my second choice is kind of another hidden gem. This book was published over 10 years ago. I think it was 2012. And the title is Prague Winter by Madeleine Albright. You might recognize the author's name. She was Madam Secretary. She was Secretary of State during the Bill Clinton administration. And a fascinating story, because in middle age, I think she was in her 50s, when she found out that she was of Jewish heritage. She had no idea that that was part of her life that had been completely closed off to her. And so in this memoir, she's telling her story of what it was like to be a young child and the threat of Nazism, and what that did to upend her life as a young child. And I actually read this one by audiobook, which was really interesting. Madeleine reads it herself. And, you know, I have a mental picture of Madeleine Albright as this thoroughly professional, capable, no-nonsense woman. But when she's telling her own story, it's just touching. It's she speaks from the heart, and obviously she knows the story through and through, and conveys the emotional impact of these events in her life very well. Comes across very well, and that it isn't always the case with an author reading their own book. You probably have noticed that, Alyssa.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I picked a nonfiction and a fiction. So the first one is a memoir, and it's called Somebody's Daughter by Ashley C. Ford. And I actually listened to this as well. So, and I think there is something really great when you listen to someone read their own story. Mm-hmm. And so I felt like she did such a good job bringing the listener into what her childhood was like. Mm-hmm. So she grew up, her father was incarcerated when she was quite young. And so this is pretty much her coming of age story. Her mother, she kind of, it's actually a very honest story. She's very honest with how things were in her household, which I thought was interesting because I don't know if I could have done that myself, but I found it really amazing. She refers to her mom in kind of like two personalities. There's mama, and that's when she's kind and loving, or you could also get the mother, and that was the unpredictable, short-tempered, abusive mom. And so it's really a lot about her childhood, feeling like she wasn't sure what version she was going to get of her mother, and also feeling like she was alone and not having another ally with her father being in prison. And it was a lot of a mystery why he was in prison. Nobody would really tell her, and so there's a lot of that. There's a lot of her talking about what it was like for her to grow into her body and to feel like she didn't really have anybody on her side. So it was just like a really beautiful but heartbreaking story. And I thought she did an amazing job. I would highly recommend it to be read. It was great. Yeah. And then my other one was a fiction book. It's called Starling House by Alex E. Harrow, and it came out in the fall. And I actually ran across it because I was reading the book page that the library always has, which I love doing.
That's great. Gets, little, you know, heads up.
Yes, this is what's coming. Yeah. Yeah, so when I first kind of read the synopsis of it, I wasn't sure because I don't really like scary things, but I do love Gothic, you know, Southern Gothic and even Gothic writing. And so this definitely falls into that genre. And it's about a girl. She's probably late teens, maybe even 20, and her brother, Jasper. They essentially have raised themselves in this town called Eden, Kentucky, and it's a coal mining town. And a lot of what they talk about is that this town is bad luck. And if you live there, you're probably going to have bad luck at some point. And so it also has this haunted house that has been there for generations. And there's lots of different various owners, and they all end up disappearing or, you know, just not having a happy ending. So, but since Opal has been a kid, she's dreamed about this house. She's had dreams about it, been like so fascinated by it. And she ends up being able to work there, cleaning it. And she decides to do it so that she could raise money or save money to, like, get her little brother out of the town because she doesn't want to have him stay there. She wants a better future for him. So she's working there, and, like, she really feels like this house is speaking to her and revealing things about, like, the town and the people. And another thing that's really interesting is there was a one of the owners was in the early 19th century and had written, like, a kind of scary children's book. And so there's that is kind of a haunting thing in itself. And she's just like, she's so fascinated by the house. And through it, she ends up learning more about her own history and her own past and some connections to the house and the town. And so it was just like, the writing is so descriptive and beautiful. And it's like a little bit creepy, but not scary. So
it's good.
It was really good. Yeah.
Oh, my. Thank you.
Yeah.
Amber.
Okay, so I have two nonfiction titles, which is kind of rare for me because I don't read a lot of nonfiction.
Really?
But I've been in a learning mood lately and kind of in a reading slump in the fiction sphere. So I picked out I Am Bunny, How a, quote, talking, end quote, dog taught me everything I need to know about being human by Alexis Devine. And that is basically one dog mom's journey into teaching her dog how to talk using buttons. So she got Bunny, who is a sheep-a-doodle, when she was a puppy. And the first button that she put on Bunny's board was outside. So that she would press outside, Bunny would hear her voice say outside when they went outside and created that connection so Bunny could ask to go outside when she needed it. So that was the start. And then now Bunny is doing things like looking in the mirror and saying, who this? And a few moments later saying, help. So we've seen this evolution from Bunny learning one word to like almost having this existential crisis on Instagram.
Right, yeah,
exactly. Be sure to check out What About Bunny on Instagram to watch those funny videos. But the book itself was really interesting. There's a lot about animal language studies in it, which I love. There's also a lot about dog training, different myths that I didn't know existed, and modern dog training, and just about how people should relate to their animals and not treat them as toys or things to cuddle, but as living beings and living things to just treat with respect. So, yeah, one of the myths about dog training was this idea that dogs need an alpha male in like a household setting or in a pack setting to behave. But that study was based on wolves in captivity from different circles.
Wow.
So the wolves in captivity were fighting for that alpha male position because they were in a new place, strange place, and that's not their natural habit of being. So we also base dog training off of this behavior of wolves when we probably shouldn't, because they are evolutionarily very different. But when you study wolves in the wild and dogs kind of doing their own thing, they often choose a leader who's like social and respectful and could get along with everyone else.
How cool is that?
So this idea that you have to be an alpha male for your dog is untrue. And I thought that was cool that they kind of got those studies out in the open and talked about that.
Debunked the myth.
Yeah. Readability-wise, it was really easy. There are super short chapters, and there are tons of pictures of Bunny and her dog siblings, so be sure to check it out.
Love it.
Yeah. my next one is The Last Ride of the Pony Express, My 2,000-Mile Horseback Journey into the Old West by Will Grant. And if you've never heard of the Pony Express, it was a 10-day horseback journey between Missouri and Sacramento that delivered mail in the 1860s. I believe it only lasted for about 18 months. But it's this big sort of cultural phenomenon in American history in the American West. And it just has this big place in our idea of the West. So this cowboy, Will Grant, who also went to school for journalism, decided to do this trek across the country to just sort of achieve that feat of horsemanship, because he's been a horseman for his whole life, and also to learn about how the West has changed from the Old West times, the Wild West times, to today, and what has stayed the same, what's still dangerous about it, but to really talk to the people who live there now and discover what the West is today.
Boy, that sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
Grilla, tell us about your picks.
So I also did two nonfiction.
Oh, this is one.
Yeah, that's not unusual for me. I'm a nonfiction girl. My first is Cultish, The Language of Fanaticism by Amanda Montell. This is a linguistics book, which is very my alley because I'm finishing my master's in linguistics. But this is just like a fun pop linguistics book, very unassuming entry. It's about how we are all involved in little cults in our lives, and how like businesses and communities we're in use this language of cults to like foster community or make you want their product. One example is like SoulCycle. People that were into SoulCycle, you know, you need the whole outfit, you have these like ideologies that go along with being a part of SoulCycle. So it's this rather unassuming fitness, like weekly fitness activity, but it becomes this huge part of your life that's motivating your outlook, your motivation, your friends. Yeah, so it's just this really interesting look into language and cults, if you're into cults. the writer, she, her father was in a famous cult from the 70s. I believe it's pronounced Cinnamon. It's S-Y-N-A-M-O-N. Yeah. And she grew up in that cult, and she like had to sneak away to get her high school education and stuff. So she has this very like inside knowledge into the world of cults. She also has a podcast called Sounds Like a Cult, where they just delve into things that we're all super into and how they might use this language of, you know, belonging, these high exit costs, and how that, is all contributed into the environment that you're in. Mm-hmm. One other interesting example is, like, Disney adults, you know, how that is very culty.
We have culty.
You know, it's like your entire life, everything you're buying, all, everything you're talking about, it's all contributing to
every vacation you're saving up for a Disney cruise or to go to Disney.
Overall, it's harmless. It's just interesting to look into. Like, no hate on Disney adults. It's a fun time. And then my second book was Tell My Horse, Life in Voodoo in Haiti in Jamaica by Zora Neale Hurston. You might know her from Their Eyes Were Watching God or the relatively newer nonfiction book, Barracoon, which is also amazing. But this one, Zora Neale Hurston is on her anthropology work in both Haiti and Jamaica, just documenting the culture and life of the Haitian and Jamaican people, and especially looking into their rituals and how, like, the culture of voodoo is in, like, everyday life. One thing I really look for in books is, like, expanding my knowledge and, like, looking into lives and worlds that I never, like, had any exposure to. And this one is just, like, an amazing example of just, like, delving into a very, like, exotic and different culture from my own. And Zora Neale Hurston, she just gets so close with the people she works with. They're, like, you just get, like, a really, like, humanitarian, like, holistic look into their lives. And there's lots of pictures as well of the rituals. And so, like, sometimes it can be hard to picture when you're, like, hearing these kind of outlandish, like, to us ideas, and there's this, like, image paired with these rituals, and it's really fascinating. Lots of talk of the voodoo doctors, which is really interesting, how they're, like, medicine and, like, a lot of emotional trouble is they go to these shamans, these voodoo doctors, and it's just really interesting to hear the rituals, the practices. It's so interesting.
Oh, that sounds fascinating. Very, very interesting approach to it, you know, kind of medicine as a holistic art rather than just, you know, going at the symptoms. And fascinating. Well, thank you, Alyssa, Amber, and Creola for joining me this month on Book Chatter. It's just great to hear from the circulation department, all that you do, and also the books that are keeping you all up late at night. Next month, we'll be featuring new guests from among our LPL staff. So join us in April for more lively library discussion and still more recommendations. And dear listeners, if you'd like to share what you're reading and loving right now, go to the Book Chatter page on the library's website. It's under Programs and Events. Fill out the form you'll find there, and we just might read your comments next month. And thanks for listening to Book Chatter, What Longmont's Reading.